We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know. No, you're doing it all wrong. You're not playing in the right key.
Hello everyone, I'm John Richter.
And I'm Liam Martin.
And welcome to Dark Netter, the podcast that likes rusty spoons.
I feel like this is a clue to what we're...
It is relevant.
...potentially talking about today.
Well, yeah, this show, as you know by now, is where one of us pitches to t'other a dark fiction concept, and the other has to take on the mantle to be act as the representative of the sanctity of the hallowed, illustrious, revered, highly sought-after Hall of Pain.
Yeah!
Lively one today. You're in the mood.
Yeah.
So it's my go.
That was absolute shit.
Sorry, I liked it. You're keeping it fresh. Always keep me on my toes.
I need to practice a bit more, I think.
We don't discuss the laughs beforehand, so I never know what I'm going to get.
No, they're always shit, aren't they?
I want to say...
I'm a piece of shit, aren't I?
I mean, maybe that's...
You want me gone, don't you?
That's what you bring to the show, right? Yeah. You know, I bring the sort of the gags and the liveliness and the content, and you bring the kind of negativity and the sadness.
It's a piece of shit.
But that's relevant, because speaking of negativity and sadness, doing Salad Fingers today.
Ah.
That's what I'm bringing for you to consider.
If that's Salad right. Fingers. Where to begin?
Honestly, it's going to be hard, this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. I'm
to not... even explain what it is.
Well, that's the thing, I mean...
Pop culture it, phenomenon.
It's very modern.
In what way is it modern? In, don't disagree. Yes.
In terms of, it's not something that you could imagine could have been a thing 40 years ago.
Or even now. Or even ever.
It's an internet thing, isn't it?
It's almost like an in-joke that yeah. got out of hand, basically. As in, I don't just mean... So its creator is David Firth, the yeah. animator. And if you want to check out... You ought to check out his other stuff. He's probably most well-known for Salad Fingers, but his other stuff, some of it is amazing. Cream is really funny. He did a thing called David Firth's Health Reminder that's sort of a parody of the NHS and the health industry in general. Some of them really... They're all dead weird and yeah. dark and horrible and funny. But he's probably most famous for Salad Fingers.
Yep.
Which it actually started as literally an in-joke amongst him and his mates.
Yeah.
Just a little throwaway 2-minute flash animation that yeah. came out in 2004 about a creepy man with long green fingers.
And wasn't it something to do with someone said he had like salad fingers when he was trying to play guitar?
Yeah,
like
one of his mates were like, oh, you've got salad fingers. Yeah. So he made an animation about a character called Salad Fingers. But then it took off and became this big sensation and
yeah.
people were quoting it and... at each other, and it was a thing, like a pop culture thing. If you find people a certain age group demographic, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s, who were into weird alternative stuff in the early noughties, and you say to them, I like rusty spoons, you'll get a nice little knowing wink
yeah.
from them. But then...
Or they'll look at you like, what the fuck is this guy, man?
They'll inject you with some more medication and strap you back yeah. to the table, and yeah, that's why they won't let me out.
And it was a flash animation
yeah.
on YouTube.
And then it...
Was it always just on YouTube? Was it just...
I think so. I believe it was a YouTube yeah. sensei, viral YouTube video.
Yeah.
And then he went on to make several more. So there's 10 in the original sort of run. Oh, they span a long time period. I think it's 2004 to 2013. So take a long time in between some of the entries.
Yeah.
And by the end, I think Firth's becoming more well-known, bit bigger budget. So you can tell it stops being like a little flash animation and looks a bit better made and they're
yeah.
a bit longer. And then interestingly, it made a comeback last year with a one-off special episode 11. I am not sure if there's any more in the pipeline. There may well be. It's interesting for something to be so recognisable that... literally all it is 11 little short YouTube
yeah,
animations.
Yeah, I guess that's the power of YouTube and
yeah.
the internet, isn't it? And what's interesting as well is, like, I don't know it's one of those things. I don't know anybody in what I would call my kind of day-to-day life, like my work life and, you know, my family life, that has ever even heard of it.
That's interesting. I had kind of... So I hadn't heard of it. I completely missed it at the time. Completely missed it, never heard of it. And then I have, other than you, I have one other friend who's dead into dark, creepy, weird stuff.
Yeah.
We'll call him Steve, because his name's Steve.
Right, okay.
And he was like, what do you mean you've never heard of Salad Fingers? Mate, you've got to watch Salad Fingers. Sent me the link. I watched it and was suitably intrigued.
Well, it was you that got, and it was you that got me into it.
Passed it on.
Passed it on, yeah.
But then... You know, there's a T-shirt.
But my,
you can get,
well, that
people,
was the thing.
Well, if I wear my Salad Fingers T-shirt, people point it out and in the streets. So
but
that
was my point. Like, I don't know anybody who's even aware of it. But it's amassed like a huge following. Like, some of the videos, we're talking tens of millions of hits.
20 million views or whatever.
Yeah, and it's...
Very interesting way to make a living. I guess he must make money from the advertising revenues. Maybe a little bit about David Firth. Firth is one of these sort of polymaths, you know, these irritatingly multi-talented creative types. Yeah. So he's got his animation, which is distributed largely via YouTube. He's directed a couple of sort of live-action things. There's, I don't know if you remember Devo.
Devo? Yeah.
He did that. Yeah. That's him. That's his thing. I don't know how you'd describe Devo. Daft Pilled.
Yeah. he did that.
That's him. Right. Yeah. He's,
didn't know that at all.
You definitely should watch some of his other stuff as well. I'll send you something.
I've watched a few of them, but I'm not... again, weirdly, I really like Salad Fingers, and yet I haven't really watched...
I think I just binge-watched everything he'd ever made one day, and some of it... There's this thing, one of those... health-related ones is called, like, the Unfixable Thought Machine. And it's just about, you know, like, your brain and mental health. And it just is, like, a
That's
relatable...
the one I've watched.
Oh, okay,
I think
okay.
You told me about it a while ago. And...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Deja vu is happening.
Yeah.
It's good. I thought it was great. He also makes music. He composes electronic music under the pseudonym of Locust Toybox and has 13 studio albums to date. Although, interestingly, Salad Fingers was Aphex Twin stuff. Wasn't it? Loads of it had bits of Aphex Twin in it.
Yeah.
Two or three different tracks, which was kind of how I got into Aphex Twin. Again, miles after the event, really late.
Yeah.
But there's that bit of music, the sad bit. Avril the 14th, I think it's called, plays in one of the episodes.
Okay.
I mean, in fact, I'll underlay it as the background. Well,
that'd be nice.
For a bit. That'll sound lovely, I think, if I remember to do it. So... A series of 11 short animations that range from a couple of minutes. I think the most recent one is getting towards kind of quarter of an hour kind of territory.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a comedy? Is it a comedy?
It's just really hard to...
Categorise.
Yeah.
Surrealist, horror... But it's not really horror.
Well, it's on Dark Matter, so it must be pretty dark, whatever it is.
It's just horrible. It's just an unpleasant...
Yeah, unpleasant, but quite funny.
Yeah, sort of
but
really...
But not laugh out loud funny.
Or at all funny. It's like a very, very, very bleak, grim, dark, self-contained surrealist stories about a recurring character. You could watch them in any order. There are some recurring other characters, but when we say characters, we'll explain that in a moment. But they all centre around this, I was about to say man, but creature called Salad Fingers, who is a green man with a bald head and wears clothes.
Although in one episode
he's topless, isn't he?
Some great comments on that.
He has... His fingers look like salad onions, long, creepy fingers. And in the first episode, it establishes one of his characteristics and one of the themes of the series, which is sadomasochism, is that he likes scraping his fingers unpleasantly against rusty surfaces.
Yeah.
And then that kind of expands later into all manner of unpleasantness and skewering himself on nails and spikes and... Imagine if you've never watched it. Imagine listening to this.
You would just
think, what the f*** is this?
Yeah.
That, you'll still think that even if you watch it.
Yeah, I have no idea. But
so the first,
I enjoy it.
Despite all of the above, it's quite somehow enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes rusty spoons. That is established, that he likes rusty spoons.
And that seems to be the line that loads of people remember and yes. will quote back yeah. at you. But then that's only said in one episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sometimes wonder if a lot of people have just seen that 1 2-minute clip.
Because it's the first one, isn't yeah. it? 2 minutes, like you said. Although I think the second episode, which I think is Nettles...
Oh, no.
The second episode is...
Nettles is number three. I can't remember what the second one's called.
But I think the second one has got the most views. By
I like the second one. We'll maybe just talk you through the second episode. We won't do the whole plot of the whole... Well, A, because it's very difficult to convey the plot, such as it is, because it's so bonkers. And B, because you can just watch the videos rather than listen to us waffle on. But just to give you an idea, in the second episode...
Oh, no.
He bumps into a... Sorry, he is asking for help. He's crying out for help through a crack in the wall of his little house. He seems to live in the middle of a wasteland, just a complete barren, endless desert of nothingness, where he's just sort of isolated on his own. And actually, that's definitely another theme of the series, is isolation and loneliness.
Yeah.
So he seems, although he seems very happy and pleasant and polite... He's clearly just on his own and spends lots of the show talking to inanimate objects yeah. or just inventing made-up characters. He spends a lot of time talking to corpses as well, yeah. doesn't he? Whether they're real or imagined. In this episode, he's calling for help and there is a living creature that presents, a little boy, but walks past and hears his cries, albeit it's a deformed, yeah, odd-looking yeah. little boy. And everything in this series is just grotesque yeah. and tumorous lumps growing out of it. And the little boy goes in, he tells him that
he's having a bit of trouble getting his fish out of the oven.
And he sort of urges the boy to go into the oven. And then he drifts off into like
yeah,
a dream. Where his finger puppet, Hubert Cumberdale, that he's been in conversation with, is sort of grown to full size. He's in an abattoir,
yes.
walking along singing somewhere yeah, over the rainbow. Hubert Cumberdale's there, full size. He asks him a question. Hubert Cumberdale just gives this appalling, blood-curdling yeah. scream in response. Carries on humming. He wakes up.
What you see is he sort of lets go of the oven door.
Oh, yeah.
Whilst he's having this.
Yeah. And it's insinuated that he's accidentally or whatever slammed the door on the little yeah. boy while he's in the oven. And then there's smoke everywhere in his house and he's like, oh, that fish smells like it's just about done.
Yeah.
So it's like he's accidentally cooked the little boy.
Yeah.
Or did he do it on purpose? Or did he imagine the boy... Or yeah. what the hell is going on? And that's it. That's your lot, about 3 minutes. So there's a thing there about him being forgetful and occasionally forgetting what he's doing and why he's yeah. doing it.
A lot of daydreaming, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantasizing. And
as with anything that's deliberately ambiguous and, you know, there's ways you can interpret it. Some people have interpreted it as he's an old man, maybe suffering from dementia. Which is interesting yeah. theory. There's one of the other later episodes where he definitely forgets what's going on in his little fantasy that he's created, and the unfathomable tar-like blob of goo in a bucket that up to that point he's been referring to as if it's his daughter, Yvonne.
Oh, yeah, Yvonne, yeah.
He then forgets what's going on and thinks he's a window cleaner and uses the blob to just clean a window.
Yeah.
So that one possibility is that it's a surrealist depiction of dementia. The isolation thing, there's definitely a kind of mental illness, anxiety feel yeah. to the whole show. Another thing that recurs a lot is his stomach problems. Yeah. It seems to have a lot of stomach aches. That yeah. seems to permeate several of the episodes, which I know I've heard from some people that suffer from anxiety, that there is an association there with sort of like chronic stomach pains.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether that's David Firth just talking about himself, I don't know whether he's an anxiety sufferer or not, but certainly the creative industry, it can be a challenging, isolated existence when you're just sat at yeah. home churning stuff out. What about you? Did you pick up any other themes or recurring images or stuff in the episodes?
I was wrong, by the way.
What?
The first episode, 36 million views.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 36 million people?
And the second episode was 21 million.
Funny to translate that into, you know my thing about like if you put the t-shirt on, how many people in the street will point it out? Like, I wonder how one in, do you know what I mean? Is it one in 100 people have seen a Salad Fingers episode?
I mean, obviously a lot of those views could be repeat views, but still, that's crazy numbers.
I have watched it 35 million times.
What did I get from it? I don't know, really.
Left you a bit, what's the word? Befuddled.
Yeah.
Bamboozled.
Yeah.
Like, what did we just witness?
Yeah.
In a good way?
Yeah.
In a bad way?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, really. It's one of those things, like, we're all sort of searching for meaning and, you know, and everything, and what is this? And a lot of media, it is symbolic. There's always symbolism used, but could it just be something that's just completely
random bollocks?
Yeah, could it be that? Or
we were talking about that before, weren't we, about how when people, I don't know, David Lynch set out to make a piece of surrealist art. I always think of Lynch, I always think of Vic Reeves, or Vic and Bob, the comedians, as surrealists. Salvador Dali, I guess.
Yeah.
When they do surrealism, it seems really clever and genuinely surrealist. And not contrived, someone trying to be surrealist.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example of what I would call contrived surrealism. I'm struggling to think of one, but I've definitely encountered it where you can say, oh, I see, they're trying to do...
Yeah,
that comedy show is trying to do that thing it is weird and wacky for no reason, but it just falls flat. This stuff to me feels legit, like
genuinely
disturbing, surreal. Cool, unpredictable, weird.
Yeah. But I mean, there are definitely like I said, common threads running through it. Some of the characters that he's kind of made up, and the sort of self harm and masochism.
Like in the nettles episode, he's literally stinging himself on the nipple with a set of stinging nettles, which is really makes me wince. I can't stand it.
What does it mean? What is the artist in this case, David Firth? What is he
trying to say?
Yeah, or is he trying to say anything?
Apparently, he
trying to make you laugh, or
Just trying to creep you out.
Yeah,
he apparently there's one theory that Salad Fingers is some sort of like a First World War veteran.
Okay,
there are lots of references to the Great War. Which war was called until they invented World War II. They used to call World War I the Great War.
So, little do they know.
We might be looking. Hopefully, there won't be another one. And if there is, I hope it won't disrupt our recording schedule. It's all I care about. I'll edit that out, because that makes me sound like a dick. there's lots of references to... At one point, he says he's trying to find France. There's another episode where he's talking to a corpse that he has dug up from outside his house. And he addresses it as if it's his younger brother, Kenneth. And he's like, oh, you went off to the Great War. It was awfully rude of you boys to go without me.
Yeah.
As if he's like, a conscientious objector or ill, maybe, and unable to go.
Yeah, unable to go.
Too weak to go off to fight in the war. So that comes up a lot. That episode, I think it's number 10, where there's an assembled party of Salad Fingers clones, albeit the rest of them seem to just be like barbaric cannibals that can't speak properly. And he's like, oh, you've got the whole platoon together. So there is something in there about like war imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
But equally, Firth apparently said of that theory or some set of fan theories, like nah, you've got it completely wrong. You've missed the point. Albeit he says he's happy for his work to be analysed. Yeah. But
well, he said, there's an interesting interview on theovertake.com. He said apparently Brits tend to be better at taking them at face value. Just the episodes at face value. I think because we had Monty Python, Chris Morris, Reeves and Mortimer, and other things that we have a lot of weirdness that's not explained. We're just used to weird stuff that isn't explained, and it doesn't need to be explained. It's a joke. I feel like Americans struggle with that because they need it to be explained, so they start theorising. There's all these deep conspiracy theories about Salad Fingers. So
interesting. But then, if it's just inexplicable bollocks, I can't get my head around his creative process. Like, how does he come up with it? Does he just sit there and he's like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if one day Salad Fingers sews together a load of blobs of raw flesh and then talks to it as if it's a little boy like Pinocchio.
Creative stream of consciousness.
Is that how he describes his process?
Yeah, sometimes I have no control over the words that come into my head and I just find it's not going to go away unless I write it down.
Wow. And it's like, this is a weird example, but so there's one episode where he finds a pram, an empty pram, and there is again a recurring theme of like childbirth and children in this. Very sinister. And he takes the pram because he's going to use it to collect more stinging nettles in.
Yeah.
But then an irate monster basically follows him.
Pram owner.
An irate pram collector who's got like an apron on, like a BBQ.
BBQ, yeah.
But no arms.
No arms.
And he's just a slobbering monster that can't speak, but he's a barbecue.
Really hard. Angry.
And he like follows him. So that's headbutting the door.
And this is the one where he's shirtless and he's rubbing himself with the
nettles. Meanwhile, this bloke's headbutted the door until he dies.
Himself to death.
He falls in a pool of blood with a smashed in head. Cue Salad Fingers opens the door. Oh, it's very late. You know, very late hour for you to be visiting. Oh, well, come inside. And then he says, I'm going to call you Milford Cubicle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I was trying to think of a funny, surrealist, like silly name, I wouldn't be able to think of one that's funny.
No.
And he's just like, bang, Milford Cubicle.
That is brilliant. Brilliant, isn't it?
Milford Cubicle. And then he hangs the corpse on a nail and it's just still in his house for months.
We see it again, don't we?
Going mouldy.
Later episode.
I guess we haven't even said, I suppose one of the recurring themes is death.
Gore
and blood and guts. That's a lot of that. But I don't know, it feels like that's alluding to something else, but maybe it just isn't. Maybe Firth doesn't know what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Don't mind.
Which is
fair enough.
Yeah.
Good.
I did see, there was one thing I wanted to mention, actually. I did see quite a funny quote on YouTube, because obviously they're on YouTube, and as most of us will know by now, if you go on YouTube's comment section, it's usually a bit of a it's very varied, to say the least, isn't it?
It is funny, though.
Somehow always descends into sort of homophobia and racism in like any video. But there are some also some really funny...
It tends to be, maybe this is my...
In general, I'm not talking about the Salad Finger comments.
But. Yeah, you start near the top and all the ones that are the kind of top comments are usually funny.
Yeah.
And then you go down and they just get worse and worse
just
and more
like
offensive.
People arguing,
But
I did see one really great quote and it was, if someone catches you watching this, quickly switch to porn.
Honestly.
Because it is the sort of thing, like, how could you... We can't explain it now.
Yeah. I can usually... I guess I'm trying to think of another example of this other than this. Something that's really dark and horrible, and people are like, well, why do you like that? That's disgusting. No, you're missing the point. Here's why I like it. Here's why I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's not just good because it's horrible. And yet this thing, I think I would struggle to explain it. Like, I tend to be poor, long-suffering missus. She gets showcased lots of stuff by me, and a lot of it, I can't contain the excitement. You've got to watch this, even though I'm kind of suspect she won't really be into it. I wouldn't show her this, because I think she would leave me because I'm a psychopath.
I agree with you. And that's another interesting point, actually, because I think he, again, maybe in that same interview I referenced, but I think he said when people are into it, really into it, and it's kind of got a cult following. If you like it, you're really into it. And so you kind of pass that on, don't you? You select who you tell about it because you think they'll like it. And usually you know them well enough
to know
that they do really like it, and they really like it.
Maybe there's a...
It's not the sort of thing that you could just sort of, oh, he's got, you know, an all right sense of humour, like, oh, watch this.
Yeah. You wouldn't stick it on in the background.
No. Like my boss, that's a good example. My boss, like, you know, we have a laugh at work, but there's no way he would like this.
Yeah.
So I would never just bother... Even though he's... You know, got a decent sense of humour.
But maybe there's a part that is... I think part of the joke is it's funny just how horrible and twisted and dark it is, which is really hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it's like... Maybe it's because Salad Fingers rarely seems to be distressed by the horribleness.
He just sort of potters around and he seems generally usually quite happy, if a little bit confused.
Yeah.
But although there are some where he looks quite distressed...
Well, one of the episodes when that kind of weird, huge-eyed boy.
Yeah, so following him around.
He's in love with him and traps him. But Salad Fingers is really like...
Yeah, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't like
it. Let me in this box.
Well, even before then, though, he just doesn't like the fact that this thing really seems to love him.
Yeah, because maybe that's the thing about, like, he's a control freak and he likes... Because most of his friends are finger puppets or dead maggots or bits of hair. And when it's an actual living, unpredictable living thing, he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So he's deliberately isolated himself somehow.
Yeah.
One thing that I enjoyed was... So David Firth, I think, is northern, like me. Although he's not. I think he's from Doncaster.
Doncaster, yeah.
He's from Doncaster. So, but Salad Fingers in one episode... says something that someone from Lancashire, where I'm from, would say.
Yeah.
So it's the one where he's washing the windows with the whatever the hell that Saturday, tar black. And he's like, yeah, that's one for Saturday lads.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's weird. Why has he got a Wigan accent? That's one for Saturday lads.
Saturday lads being like Saturday
workers.
Yeah. Well, like, and, which are usually like younger.
Like work experience boys or whatever.
Yeah, kind of just thing. Like 16. Yeah, 17,
give them the crap Saturday jobs.
Lads, yeah.
But then he does speak in loads of... Salad Fingers uses lots of like colloquialisms and old-fashioned language, which again reinforces this, that he somehow is an older person or he's from an older time. So a lot of his speech patterns are... I'm trying to think of an example, but he'll be like, oh, hello there, youngster, you young scallywag. It's like he has this kind of old-fashioned turn of phrase, which is... quite pleasant. He seems like a nice bloke. to be honest.
I think Firth also described him as like a cat. Like it can be really pleasant when you know when you're stroking it, but it also go out and like viciously kill something.
Because you can't tell if he's meant to be a murderer. So he never. I don't think he ever kills anyone. But you do see him. You know, he's got at least one corpse on the premises. He seems to have a healthy supply of what looks like human skin.
And flesh, which is a new stuff episode. Out of.
Where's he getting all that from? So, I don't know what
And there's a corpse in that he digs up.
Kenneth.
Yeah, Kenneth, yeah.
And then he talks of his back. He's like a sailor who's just back on shore leave. And they have like a romance. Almost like
again,
a romantic
Again, the kind of war time.
Yeah. Sure. And then at the end he's like, oh, well, you have to go now, goodbye. And then boots the torso and, of the corpse back into a hole.
The kid who in the oven, you know, was that on purpose?
Yeah.
What
a sinister man.
Really, yeah.
What did you think of that new episode, the bigger budget comeback?
Yeah, I really liked it. It's weird. Like, do you think they've gotten darker as they've gone on?
It sort of feels like they have, and yet in the second episode, he cooks a kid.
Yeah,
so
you can't really get much darker on that, can
you? But it feels like they're definitely more intricate and the longer more stuff happens in them. So you get more of, like, in the new episode, there seems to be an angle of Salad Fingers' mum. Is berating him and telling him he's not good enough.
Which was a bit sort of Norman Bates.
Yeah.
Psycho-esque, wasn't it?
But with a slightly different feel. He does talk about, he does mention his mum and his dad sometimes in a sad, negative sort of way. But he doesn't really seem to have any friends or his brother other than Kenneth, the corpse, Milford Cubicle. What are his three finger puppets called?
Hubert Cumberdale. Jeremy Fisher. Oh, and I don't know.
Is it something like Marjorie Stuart Baxter?
That sounds right.
The girl one with red hair, I think. Oh, and one other character that deserves a mention, only appears once thus far, is in episode 10. Baxter,
Marjorie Stuart Baxter.
Marjorie Stuart Baxter, is that right? Ah, that's good.
Hubert Jason Cumberdale.
Oh, he's got a middle name, has he? I didn't know he was called Hubert Jason. Does Jeremy Fisher have a middle name?
No.
He's just Jeremy Fisher.
Barbara Logan Price.
Don't remember
brackets.
Don't remember Barbara Logan Price.
Maybe does he pretend he's a girl one time? Or?
He dresses up as a woman a couple of times. There's one where he's in like a bridal gown, and the one where he's singing, he's doing like, I don't know, like cabaret.
The wartime,
And the person on the piano has clearly got puppet strings operating.
It's that song, isn't it?
It's not somewhere.
No, it's the war one.
Can't remember it. I want to close out this episode with you doing a rendition of it, whatever it is.
War song, you know, like the famous...
What? I don't know it.
Don't know how, don't know when.
What's the bit before? How does it go?
I can't remember. We'll meet again. We'll meet again.
Go on, sing it.
We'll meet again.
Don't know when.
Well, that was a nice moment, which I will cherish forever.
And so there's that song from that sort of bygone era, and Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Yeah. And so again, there's a lot
the
of evidence.
Wartime
point,
stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out that theory. Just Google Salad Fingers yeah. World War
I. I mean, that's the thing, like you said, I think he's sort of quite happy for them to do that. He doesn't necessarily yeah. agree with these theories. But that's, we always talk about this. We've talked about it in like the Souls episodes we've done. But it's fun, isn't it? Coming up with these theories.
Oh,
and
massively.
Taking the evidence. Maybe this generation, we overthink everything.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun doing yeah. that sometimes.
It's good. I think it's good to be able to, you know, you've just watched a film with a intriguing, ambiguous yeah. ending. You're not sure what to make of it, what you made of it. Oh, did I miss something? Oh, I think it means this.
Yeah.
And now we've got the luxury of you can just Google it and see what everyone else thought.
Yeah.
And that's, I enjoy that.
I enjoy
it's
fun. It, yeah.
Really fun.
I enjoy it. And
even the silly, like, I think I mentioned it on the Silent Hill 2 episode, someone's done a, which I'm sure they're taking the piss, but they're trying to have it that Silent Hill 2 is an analogy for the rise of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And the main character is Ronald Reagan, and Silent Hill is the United States, and Pyramid Head is communism.
Yeah.
Honestly, and he manages to evidence it quite convincingly.
Yeah.
I think what he's trying to do is to say that film theory and like people who analyse all the symbolism in films are full of shit.
Yes,
and you can
yeah.
just make a case for anything.
Definitely.
And I sort of agree a bit,
yeah.
to an extent, but equally, I still enjoy hearing
the
theories.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. I really enjoy it. And that's the problem, isn't it? Sometimes people, we talked about this on the Dark Souls one, when everything isn't kind of tied up in a nice bow,
yeah.
people get a bit annoyed and frustrated, but it doesn't bother me. I'm quite
yeah.
happy for Salad Fingers just to be complete nonsense.
Yeah.
But equally, I want to read these theories
yeah.
just because, oh yeah, that you know, could you can
be.
Really make a good case for that.
I know. It is a funny thing, isn't it? And then I sometimes think, in a way, people give the artist too much credit. So
sometimes, yeah.
I think a lot of the time, the reason things are left a bit open-ended and not tied up and ambiguous is because they sort of couldn't be asked.
Yeah.
Not even in a lazy way. They just didn't want to. They didn't feel the need to. They didn't feel like this thing they were creating had to be completely all sewn up.
Yeah.
Sewn up like a fleshy wallet, like Salad Fingers' human skin wallet.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, no, I'm convinced that when they said this, they must have meant this.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that thing is there. And
maybe they did, but
yeah.
equally...
They might not have.
They probably didn't, but...
So, and,
yeah.
and you remember this, even going back to, like, doing, I don't know, English literature at GCSE, the amount of analysis you could wring out of a little short poem...
Yeah, totally,
that,
yeah.
I'm convinced was way over and beyond what the writer had even conceived of.
But, yeah, because that's the thing, poetry, you know, the placement of a comma, the pause,
yeah.
that has meaning in the...
Yeah.
Well, poem, it changes the way
totally
yeah you know you view and kind of understand poetry and yeah so you can really if you can wring that much analysis out of a bloody comma or a full stop then Christ
there's plenty to go out in Salad Fingers then isn't
lots
there?
And lots,
most of
yeah.
it is dead and
yeah.
rotting away
even we spoke about in one of the episodes he's sort of tapping on
the boiler,
the
old boiler,
and it's kind of like Morse code in a way,
yeah.
isn't it?
Which feels like a wall
again.
Thing.
Yeah,
he's signalling for help because he's having. He thinks at least that he's got some sort of condition.
Yeah,
he's medically deteriorating, and he's like shoved a pipe into his chest to try and prop him up. But then he's in a wheelchair for that episode. He wheels himself along the desert to get
yeah.
to this, and that's where he cleans the windows.
That's
and
right,
as soon
yeah.
as he forgets why he's there, he forgets the medical condition as well, and he's just fine
yeah.
again. Even though we've seen an incision in his chest with
yeah.
this air pump, like, physically shoved it. So you never know how much of this stuff's real. Is any of it? Does it matter?
Yeah, yeah.
I found that was one. There's one character, one of the characters I wanted to give a shout-out to, and... It's well, what is the darkest bit in Salad Fingers? This is a candidate, I suppose, is he takes his horse to, they go to see the GP. the doctor, you know, for anyone who's not British GP, general practitioner, is a doctor. And the doctor's called, like, Dr. Papanak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that.
And it's like another...
I couldn't remember the bit you meant, yeah.
It's like another sock puppet that he's made. But then it suddenly grows, all these knives grow out of it. And it jumps at the horse.
Gouging away, yeah.
Yeah, gouging all its flesh away. And then he's like, now, now, try to be quiet while the doctor eats your blood.
Yeah.
And the horse is sort of crying.
Yeah, like, actually crying, isn't it?
Stoically gets... feet gorged upon by an evil, monstrous doctor. Weird. Dead weird.
What does it mean? Who knows? Who cares?
And that's why I try not to go to the doctor if I can
avoid
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dr. Papanak. He's nearly as bad as Dr. Nick Riviera. I only mention him because for someone on a podcast I was listening to mentioned him. And I ended up, like, YouTubing, oh, yeah, Dr.
The
Nick.
Best moments.
And there's that one where someone grabs him around the shirt collar as he's leaving a... I don't know, another botched operation. And he's like, remember me, Dr. Nick Riviera?
Oh, I know.
And he goes, but this is my old friend, Mr. McCraig, with a leg for an arm and an arm for a leg. Yeah. And he stitched his limbs onto the wrong place.
Great stuff.
Grabbing him around the collar with his foot. Well, there's. I don't think we've missed any of the key Salad Fingers beats.
It's something I think you could talk about for hours and hours and hours. You could analyse every single moment of it, but equally, how can you? Because it's just...
surreal.
You have to kind of just see it, don't you? To...
So I think if you have seen Salad Fingers, if you've not watched all of them, it's not a big task to watch all 11 episodes.
About an hour, I think.
In total. Yeah. If you've never watched it, definitely watch them all again. You sure won't forget it. And if you have seen all of them, then you are a fellow absolute weirdo. And congratulations.
If you are watching them, as the YouTuber commenter pointed out, and someone walks in on you, quickly get that porn on.
It's flicked to something really disgusting. Because you don't.
It can't be as bad as Salad Fingers.
Imagine that certain moments of it. If somebody came in where you were just at that bit when he was like giving birth to that blob of tar into a bucket.
Yeah.
What would they think? You'd get sacked, wouldn't you?
You would get sacked, eh?
Yeah.
You would get sacked, John.
I'm going to leave that in.
Okay.
It's like when Bob Mortimer calls Vic Reeves Jim all the time. He comes all the time. Yeah, my name's Dave. I'm not really called John. It's a pseudonym.
Hey.
But John's more interested. He's got books out and everything.
Yes.
Dave's just an accountant.
It's a lot of your...
Or is he?
A lot of your stories about, like, crazed accountants.
Really depressed, miserable accountants who murder their
co-hosts. I'm starting to worry about this guy, eh?
Don't worry, it's all okay, everything's fine.
I think that was your best one yet.
Psychologically, I was damaged in the Great War.
That's really good.
I've been working on it. It's my talent.
Do you do the voice? Oh my God, he's... For the sake of the listeners... He's trying to touch me with his fingers. There's a lot of rubbing as well, isn't there?
Oh, that he rubs a bit of hair on his eyeball and one, doesn't he? That made me want to puke.
What else could we say?
I guess final, in summary. Salad Fingers is a pop culture icon, an inexplicable pop culture icon. He's lasted nearly two decades.
Wow. That's crazy. But
mad.
Yeah.
And he is the most iconic and memorable creation of a very talented, weird, bonkers man, which is David Firth, whose works I would recommend you check out in full. Even, is the one called Burnt Face Man? That was one of his earlier works. That's a bit weird. So, I believe, by being a very unique piece of media, and incredibly, indescribably dark, too dark for most of your friends to even watch... I feel that Salad Fingers is worthy
of a place in the Hall of Pain.
Well, as you know, As you know, not everybody can get in.
Give me one example of someone who hasn't got in.
There isn't any.
Hey!
So, I mean, Salad Fingers is in.
Yeah! It'd be a shame not to. It'd be sad, wouldn't he? He'd be outside. Yeah.
Be very sad. That was terrible.
One foot Saturday, lads.
Wait, hey, that's got me thinking, actually. Is the Hall of Pain... In my head, it's like a bit of a dark castle.
Yeah, I'm... Ramparts. Same.
But what's the... In what setting? What surrounds it? Is it like a Salad Fingers-esque, just flat, beige desert wasteland?
Why not?
Let's have that.
Yeah.
We've added to the mythology now. Or maybe it's not a castle. Maybe it's just like a really innocuous...
I kind of just think of it as like a dungeon of a... So I guess that would mean it would have to be...
Underground.
Part of a castle.
But well, maybe there's just a portaloo.
Could be.
Portaloo in the middle of a desert. You go in, down. Instead of a toilet, there's stairs down.
Into the Hall of Pain.
Into the Hall
of
Pain.
I like that.
So broadcasting live from a portaloo in a unnamed desert location. If you can track us down, you can put a stop to this podcast once and for all. You'll never find us.
On that note.
Yep.
So Salad Fingers is in. Who isn't, quite
Thank
frankly.
You. Thank you.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm sure the rest of the Hall of Pain will be suitably disturbed when he turns up, but I'm sure he'll have a good time.
He certainly will. I really can't do it. You can.
Speaking of good times,
yeah.
Tune in again in a couple of weeks when we're going to be talking about some more bollocks.
Yep. I can't wait.
Do you know what we're going to talk about? It's your go.
Let's just say it's something very creepy.
I think I know where you're going with this. I'm quite excited about that one, actually. That's going to be good. He's definitely going in.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in to find out what is definitely going into the Hall of Pain.
Which, quite frankly, at this stage, could be anything. But
Tim Lovejoy.
And everything.
Tim Lovejoy got in last time, didn't he?
Yeah,
remember?
Did. Son of a bitch.
We're not in yet.
We're the curators of...
Sorry. Yeah, that would be like a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Off we go then.
Let's end with a handshake.
Bye-bye.
Okay, horrible. Salad Fingers off me.
Hello. Thanks for listening.
Oh, don't worry, I'm not going to do that for the duration of this. Far too creepy. Thank you for listening. You can contact us in a number of ways if you wish to give feedback or suggestions for future entries into the Hall of Pain. You can find us at Twitter @dark_natter, Instagram @darknatterpodcast, or email us darknatterpodcast@gmail.com. We'd really, really appreciate it if you'd give us a 5-star review for the show. And I, John, would, or Dave, as you now know, after the big shocking twist revelation of today's episode, you can find my website, which has just been relaunched a couple of weeks ago, at www.john-richter.com. That's John, J-O-N-Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, where you can find books and other random assorted sinister side projects. Tune in next time for more Dark Natter.
What did I get from it? I don't know, really. I don't know. I just don't know.